This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The second hour of the program here. The number, if you want to join us, 603-283-6160. Here tonight, Ian,
Bonnie,
and Aria. Join us online over at freetalklive.com. You can enjoy various features, and they are completely free, like a lot of talk show websites that charge you. You can enjoy those over at freetalklive.com. We're going to go right back into your calls and thoughts. We can talk about the apparently Chase Bank blocking people from buying bitcoins. Also, Japanese people being encouraged to commit suicide by one professor. Also, Project Veritas's founder has been asked to step down from, or I guess, I suspect they're not just asking.
Your last video was too awesome and hilarious and entertaining. We need you to step down.
Yeah, they're getting rid of James O'Keefe there at Project Veritas. Plus, the NBC documentary from Boston's NBC, multi-part documentary series on the Free State Project, just came out mostly today. There's still a few more episodes that are going to be released in the coming weeks.
That's so strange. I mean, I know they're releasing four more episodes.
Yep.
I don't understand why they released seven all at once and not all 11.
They're not done yet.
I know, but why not wait until they had all 11 done? Or if they weren't all done, why release seven and why not just, like, release one a week? Or I don't understand the way in which,
like,
they did
weeks.
This.
I thought it was kind of weird, too. My first reaction was, like, seven. That's so weird. But maybe it's because they're so short. It only adds up to, like, an hour.
Yeah, I don't know. We can always ask them. I mean, they're easy to reach.
Or maybe
we literally can text them and ask them.
Yeah.
Or maybe there was something like they needed to show that they were going to be good or popular before they got allowed to edit the rest. I don't know.
I don't know either. Doesn't matter because I think they're great. But we can talk about that later. Let's go to your calls and thoughts. Sydney is in Pennsylvania. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Sydney.
Oh, hey, everybody. I wanted to join the discussion about this Rage Against the War Machine rally that they had in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I first heard about it on Free Talk Live a couple weeks ago. Otherwise, I don't think I would have.
Sydney?
Anything about it. Can you hear me okay?
You cut out there. You said, I don't think I would have, and then
I don't think I would have heard about it if it weren't for Free Talk Live. And after the event today, I was looking just through the headlines, and there's really no coverage of it at all.
RT covered it. I will point that out. They did have a live stream on RT.com.
Oh, man, America is so screwed.
Doesn't make the, you know, conspiracy theories about it any better.
Well, wasn't that a thing?
No, it doesn't.
There was some, one of the things people were upset about was because the Libertarian Party invited someone who wasn't necessarily pro-peace. They were accused of being a Russian apologist, whatever that means. And I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, that's the way you're painted. If you're an advocate of peace in this conflict, you're a Russian apologist or a Putin apologist or whatever.
I saw some of his tweets. It was really weird. He was just straight up like, go Russia. I hope Russia wins. Who else is Team Russia?
As I understand it, I thought there was a difference with this guy as well, where he wasn't just a peacemonger and he was actively pro-Russia. But, like, if he still wants to... Look, I don't care. If he doesn't want there to be a war in Ukraine, I don't care if he wants to fillet Putin. It doesn't make a difference to me.
But he did get kicked out, right, Ian?
So there was some controversy over one particular guy who was the former UN weapons inspector like 20 years ago. His name was Scott Ritter. And there was a couple different people who were, there was a couple objections to him. One is he wasn't explicitly anti-war. And two, people kept accusing him of being a pedophile, which was completely, from what I can tell, false.
I also don't care. I don't care if he's a pedophile. Yeah. I don't care if he's not anti-war. Is he against the war that is literally happening
right now? I believe he would have been against this current war.
That, to me, is more important. I would rather have everyone with someone who is principled anti-war, but if they just are against this particular war...
That's good enough.
Yeah.
I tend to agree with you on that one, Aria. I wouldn't have cared whether or not, you know...
I would care if he was a pedophile, but he wasn't a pedophile.
No,
he, like, got convicted of the police pretending to be a 16-year-old girl, and then he got caught. So it's not pedophilia by definition.
And it was a grown person that he was, you know, sexting.
It was
with
an undercover police officer.
Right, but definitely not a 16-year-old.
Correct.
So the crime there is imaginary.
In New Hampshire, there's no crime there at all.
True.
So
I wouldn't do it, but it's no crime.
It's not, by definition, not a pedophile because a 16-year-old is not a child. 16-year-old is someone who's
gone through. Regardless of this guy, one thing that I really liked about this protest was that they brought the Libertarian Party, I guess, brought a lot of speakers from all different parts of the spectrum, you know, from far left to, you know, some right.
Well, it wasn't just the Libertarian Party that was organizing it. They were in tandem with the People's Party, which would have been the people that probably recruited the far-left speakers that you're referring to. Jill Stein, for instance, the comedian guy. What was his name?
Jimmy Dore. And it was really entertaining.
Jimmy Dore had a lot negative to say about the left, which I thought was very it was helpful to hear because there were a lot of left people there, which is totally fine with me. I thought it was great that it was sort of like a big tent event, which I personally don't really like those. But in this case, for anti-war, I think Tulsi Gabbard made a good point that this is like our lives. If nuclear war breaks out on Earth, this is our lives. So, you know, let's get together at least for this one thing. And then, you know, we can disagree, you know, tomorrow. So I thought it was a really good event. I happened to just listen to the audio stream from like the speaker's podium. And I thought it was good. It didn't seem like the energy was very high, but a few people brought the energy, and Ron Paul kind of peaked it at the end and made a lot of really good points, the same points that he's been making for years. You know, people were chanting, end the Fed, and he made a very good point that if it weren't for the Fed, these types of wars would be very unlikely to happen because you just can't afford them.
And you know what's so great about this event was the fact that Ron Paul got to say that in front of a bunch of leftists instead of just saying it in front of the same libertarians that he said it in front of for 15 years.
That's why these events are important, is because they bring people together under the same banner who don't necessarily have the same viewpoint. And the sad part is some of these people who are criticizing it online were criticizing it for that very reason. Like, you can't have the commies with it. Well, yeah, let's have the commies there. Let's all have conversations and see where we can work together and agree on. Now, I will say this, even though they kicked off Scott Ritter from the speakers list, there were still speakers who work for Sputnik, which is the Russia Today radio version, basically. So everybody knows about RT, or a lot of people know about RT, Russia Today.
Yeah.
Sputnik is the radio alternative, also funded by the Russian government. So there were still other people here who are kind of connected to the Russian government in a way. And I don't care about that personally. It doesn't bother me.
If there were people connected with the Ukrainian government but would have talked against war, it wouldn't have happened.
I would have been fine with that, too.
Yeah, I would have been fine with that, too. But it just wouldn't have happened because the Ukrainian government would, you know, oust them immediately if they were anti-war because they're anti-peace talk.
Right. So the people that are against this particular event are just playing the purity test here. Like, you're not pure enough. Your speaker's list wasn't pure enough, even though it was good enough for Ron Paul.
There's also people holding Russian flags, and that pissed a lot of people off. But American flags, the American flags are just as bad. Why aren't people mad about the American flags?
Great point.
Right. Yeah, I'm always working, so I just got to catch like the audio stream, and I got interrupted a bunch of times. But after the fact, I got to like look and like I searched Twitter just for like the hashtag of the event, and then I organized it by the like time that it was posted. And there's these weird, very negative, very slanderous posts mixed into, you know, this very long timeline. There actually weren't very many posts at all. So from the time that the event was like, you know, in preparation, like a few hours before to afterwards, very few. And then there's these weird ones really mixed in. I don't know if that's the bot army or what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there appeared to be some people waving Russian flags. I'm totally fine with that, but I think that people should confront them on camera and just ask their opinion and ask them, you know, what they are doing and what's their purpose.
Yeah.
Well, one of the guys who was there who attended the event said yesterday that in regards to the Russian flag wavers, there was only one or two of them.
And one or two pictures.
They positioned themselves behind the speakers and then they went away. So, like, it seemed like they were there just long enough for someone in the audience to get photographs of them being there, and then they got out of there. So, like,
it was the FBI then.
Right, right. That's what people were
or the CIA or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, good chance.
I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, that's the kind of crap they do. All they need to do is one person there with one Russian flag slanders the entire event in the eyes of these stupid idiots on the internet.
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah, and on the internet, it very much has the appearance that, yes, there were some wacko people there. That's sort of the impression that, I guess, that the propaganda is trying to push out. And also that the event was very, very small. I saw a drone footage. It looked like it was like 2,000 people maybe. But the initial stuff was like, oh, it's a couple hundred people. And then some photos that selectively made it look like a couple hundred people. Now, it is a President's Day weekend, so I'm sure there were a lot of people on the mall. This event was at the Lincoln Memorial there in Washington, D.C., you know, in the peak afternoon. It was a beautiful day. I would have loved to have been at that protest. It looks like the people were mingling quite well. I saw a video from Reed Coverdale.
Oh, yeah, I was about to suggest that you follow him. He had the best coverage of it on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't, but now I do. Now I'm going to check him out more. I've heard him on this show before, but it was interesting because they have, like, you know, these little side groups and people can voice their opinion. And, you know, if I was there, I'd voice my opinion, and I'm very upset about this situation. I don't want to see World War III. I don't want to see a nuclear exchange. It looks like NATO is provoking this. They're going to continue to provoke it. Biden was just there on President's Day, and, you know, he's just giving away all – I pay taxes and giving away that money to somebody else. I don't see how people can tolerate that, but they are. This was the first anti-war protest of this conflict, this most recent conflict.
It's the first anti-war protest in years that at least I've been made aware of. Thank you, Sidney,
we went to an
call.
Anti-war protest in Concord with Alu and...
Was it the anti-this war? Or a different anti-war?
Yeah, it was like beginning of 2022.
I mean, like, a well-attended D.C. protest. Thank you for, again, the call, Sidney. Although I did look here. He said he couldn't find any coverage of the protest. It does look like Tucker Carlson did actually cover in advance, so he did promote the protest happening.
That's amazing.
On his show. So, you know, he's got about a 3.5-minute or 4-minute clip of him interviewing one of the organizers, it looks like. And, you know, they've got, like, the list of demands. We did go over that, by the way, on Free Talk Live prior to the event. And it's a very principled list of demands. I'll go over it real fast here. We don't have to stop down on all of them because we already covered it. But for those that maybe were unfamiliar, not one more penny for the war in Ukraine. That's number one. Number two, negotiate peace. Three, stop war inflation. Four, disband NATO. That's a huge one. Five, global nuclear de-escalation. They just keep getting bigger as you go on here. Six, slash the Pentagon budget. They want it cut by at least half, I think. Seven, abolish the CIA and military industrial deep state. Eight, abolish war and empire. Nine, restore civil liberties. And 10, free Julian Assange.
Nice.
I'm impressed. I did not expect demands like that.
Well, right. I mean, when I first saw this event, I thought, oh, well, the Libertarian Party must be one of the minor organizers of it. No. They are the top organizer in tandem with the People's Party. It's listed on the site. Libertarian Party, organizer. People's Party, organizer. And then they have sponsors.
Nice to see the People's Party is that good. I mean, I don't know anything else about them.
Well, they're good on the war issue, apparently. I don't know what else they're really that great on here, but we do have their website. I've got it pulled up. It's peoplesparty.org for people that are on the left. If you're sick and tired of the Democrats, this might be a home for you. And here is their case for the People's Party. They say polls show that the large majority of Americans are progressive, and almost 2 out of 3 Americans are now calling for a new major party. Their number is even greater among young people and poor people. Why? We want what regular people take for granted in so many other countries. Single-payer health care, free public college, money out of politics, an infrastructure jobs program, a $15 minimum wage, financial regulations, and more.
Okay, you.
Yeah, so they're total
leftists. Yeah, I mean, it's what
leftist.
I expected.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
total leftist.
Cool. I think, you know, if they want their little society to have those things, I'm fine with that. You know, whatever. Just make sure it's voluntary.
They say, we deserve these good things. If other countries can deliver these things, we know the richest nation on earth can, too. What's in the way is not our ability. It's the oligarchs who are making so much money and building so much power from the current system. They don't want things to change. The money has corrupted both major parties. The oligarchs have, as writer Teda Rose Fikre put it, quote, turned America into a nation of aspen for the rich and Appalachia for the poor. and working class. They then go on to...
I agree with everything they just said. I don't think their solution is right, but they're correctly identifying the problems, yeah, which is the American oligarchs and the fact that like 10 corporations own everything in the United States. Those are the issues.
And that's the kind of attitude people should have about people they disagree with. It's just, you know, instead of just, they're commies, you can't work with them. It's better to focus on the things that you do agree with them on and work with them on what you can. And separate when you absolutely can't agree. Like, okay, you guys should go make a... You know, People's Party State Project.
Absolutely.
Somewhere.
Move out to Oregon
heck else,
or something.
Though, but
hell, do it next door in Vermont, man. Let's have some Liberty Brotherhood over here. You have your Communist Libertarian Society that's pro peace. We'll have our Free Market Voluntarist Society that's pro peace.
That's fine with me, yeah.
We can just be right here in the middle of New England, having our own little happy world, right?
Actually, that would be great because, like, if we could agree to
trade,
have
all our communists.
I don't know if the communists do trading at all, but if they would...
Well, if they can actually produce something, in theory, they could trade.
Then, we could, trade with them whenever we secede and people can't say, oh, we'll have nobody to, trade with.
That aside, you know, smash the oligarchs, smash the state, the control machine with the military-industrial complex, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, let's do it, guys. I'm with you. We the people, right? Whatever. People's Party, whatever. Let's do it.
Let's continue.
Let's have a different solution. Let's work on what solutions we implement afterward.
Right? I got some more coming up here on People's Party, but let's get Sam on the line. He's in Ohio. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, I was just curious. This whole idea that as citizens we have to follow the laws that I keep coming in contact with whenever I bring up the idea of disobeying laws in any way, and basically I know you've talked about how citizens, that whole subject ties into the social contract and what you've explained about that before.
Mm-hmm. Was that a question?
Yeah, I thought there was a question coming.
Oh, sorry. So, like, how do you deal with that, I guess?
Deal with people opposing the idea of civil disobedience or breaking laws
people
in general?
That-
civil disobedience in terms of the fact that they think the social contract works in terms of forcing people to do things they don't want to do.
I moved to New Hampshire so I could be around more like-minded people.
Yeah, I mean, we can argue with people all day long, and, you know, you're not going to win people over there in Ohio, and it's never going to result in any sort of meaningful change, but ultimately it's a question of, it's just an arbitrary decree made by some tyrant who says you must do this thing, and people have decided that if you don't do these things, then you're being immoral. They conflated the two concepts where breaking the law is immoral, and that's not necessarily the case. Like, there's a stop sign right outside the studio here that people, you know, just speed past all day, every day.
All the time, yeah.
And it's illegal to do that, but there's nothing immoral about it. It's not a matter of good and evil or right and wrong. It's a matter of whether or not you've been told to do something. And this idea that anything that is...
morality.
Right, this idea that you have to obey in order to be moral, that's just an argument that ultimately stems from Western religion and Christianity and God's decrees of obey me or be punished.
We get taught in public education that the laws come about, how do they make a bill? And I just watched in the camera somebody going past that stop sign, by the way.
Okay.
But, you know, how does a bill become a law? You know, they really... ingrained in your head that it is, you know, a good moral thing. Like, it's so great that we have this system. Thank God we have this system. It's the best in the world.
Yeah, people are of two mindsets, though, right? So on one hand, they have this mindset that Bonnie's talking about, that, oh, well, it's a nation of laws. We have to follow the laws. If you don't agree with the laws, you have to try to change the laws. But then that same day, they're going to blow through a stop sign, right? So, like, it's whatever's convenient in the moment. And the brainwashing really goes a long way with these people. I mean, arguably, that's why so few of us have succeeded in front of juries, for instance, because even though we're in the moral right, we may even be in the legal right, the brainwashing of the government school system is so powerful over people.
And it's insane to act like, you know, we can just change the law. Like, the law is just something that I can just arbitrarily, you know, just decide I want to change. I don't agree with this stop sign law. I'm just going to change the law.
Good luck.
Yeah, that's a monumental understanding. Even something as simple and obvious as this stupid stop sign outside the studio that thousands of people, maybe not thousands, but hundreds of people run every single day. Something simple like that here in this little town of 23,000 people, you would think we could get that sign pulled down.
You'd have to spend thousands.
thousands of dollars
and hours.
Yeah.
Just so people know, it's a useless three-way stop sign. There should be one stop sign where it is intersected, and then the other two stop signs should be taken away so people
can
just keep going.
It should be a yield sign, if anything at all.
I'm just saying.
One stop sign.
I mean, this is key. Let's just make it a roundabout, right? But no, realistically,
they'll take our front yard.
Any sort of change that you want to implement to the system, it's got this huge resistance built into
sure.
it, and that's without even factoring in the reality that
listen, we've always had stop signs. We're always going to have stop signs. How can you suggest we never have stop signs?
Most people just resist that change entirely just because it's a new idea. When I was first becoming a libertarian, I read the book In the Fed by Ron Paul, and I'm talking to my father about it. And just based off the name of the Federal Reserve Bank, he's like, no, that sounds like something we ought to keep. Dude, you nothing,
know anything.
Nothing about the subject. Had never even heard of it before. But because it's the institution that's already there.
Go ahead, Sam.
So that level of brainwashing, just the name of something is enough to make someone be like, okay, I guess I got to agree with it.
Sounds fancy.
I mean, people have been reciting the Pledge of Allegiance every day in government school for their 13 years at least that they spent there. I mean, that hammers that crap into people, and then they just get it reinforced and reinforced every election. Every time they watch, you know, mainstream media, it's just constantly hammered into people. And that's why the Free State Project is such a great idea, because if we can get enough people together who can change that narrative or move the Overton window, these terminologies that suggest getting ideas into people's heads that move them in our direction. They're not going to come all in. They're not going to. But
they might
agree with us on some things.
We mentioned the Free State documentary at NBC. There's an entire episode dedicated to the subject of New Hampshire secession.
There is.
I mean,
that's true.
That Overton window has moved.
Yeah,
and we're moving
it
here.
I'm surprised they were willing to do that.
Well, we didn't leave them
it
much choice. They wanted to interview us, and we put that issue front and damn center.
Yeah, well, it was already front and center because it was in the news. I mean, it was worthy of talking about, and it has opposition, and the opposition's wanting to talk about it, too.
And it's so, like, it's way further than anybody else has pushed any type of freedom legislation.
Yeah. Sam, thanks for the call tonight, man. I appreciate hearing from you. You don't get this kind of level of success without having a migration of people together for the same purpose. This is an amazing documentary series, and if we get the chance, we'll play an excerpt from it here coming up tonight, basically play a full episode, because they're only about 10-ish or so minutes long. And
we could spend an entire episode just watching 10 minutes of this.
We really could. But it's really cool because there's like the opposition is in these, and it should be because it's journalism.
That's
right?
Fair.
Like they're doing a documentary, and it's not a biased documentary per se, although I could argue, and it would be interesting to hear what the people who are on the other side of the issue are saying about it, like whether they're praising the documentary or whether they're upset about it. I'm curious to hear what their response is, because obviously you're going to see the things you kind of want to see in it. So, like, the people that...
But that's the thing. I think the people outside of New Hampshire who are interested in liberty that watch this are going to be like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah,
that's why I said it's going to be the new 101 reason.
It's going to be good to I think, recruit people in here, because the opposition from our perspective looks pathetic in this. They are really lame. More coming up here.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'll be right back. USA News update. President Biden has arrived in Poland after making a surprise visit to Ukraine today. Meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, Biden said America stands with Ukraine.
I'm going to show our unwavering support for the nation's independence, their sovereignty, and territorial integrity.
The president also announced an additional $500 million in aid for Ukraine. At least three people are dead after a strong earthquake hit near the Turkey-Syrian border today. The 6.4 magnitude quake also injured more than 200. Today's earthquake comes just weeks after devastating quakes killed tens of thousands in that region. A major U.S. air carrier is making it easier for families to fly together. United Airlines says it's opening more seats to families traveling with kids under the age of 12. Under the new plan, parents accompanying younger children will be able to access preferred seats at no extra fee if needed at the time of booking. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. This is all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open here. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. There's a new left-wing political party out there. It's called the People's Party. They were one of the co-organizers of the really excellent Rage Against the War Machine rally that happened in D.C. this weekend. We'll talk a little bit more about them. Plus, if we get the chance, we'll play some of the audio from the new series, documentary short docu-series, if you will, from NBC Boston on the Free State Project. Really excellent. Bonnie and I took the time to watch all 7 available episodes today. As we continue, though, with your calls and thoughts, Ricky is on the line in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Ricky.
Thank you there, Brother Ian. Sister Ari and Sister Bonnie, good evening.
What's on your mind?
Oh, you know? Huh?
What's on your mind, Ricky?
Sure. Well, today's President's Day, so it got me thinking. You know, every year I hear about Abraham Lincoln. Now, luckily, I heard very little today. See, it kind of goes like this, Ian. You know, Abraham Lincoln, in all actuality, was a sorry, tyrannical, emancipating son of a bitch. And what? And
that's
why?
Right.
Why do I say this? You know, because it goes like this. We'll start from the very beginning. We'll start with a lie. Everybody hated Lincoln. Lincoln was not liked. You know? And what does he start with? Like, oh, it's all good. Don't worry. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. Oh, this slavery thing? Oh, it's good. It's good for the economy. We're going to be fine, you know? Well, that didn't last. What happens? he had very little tools at his disposal, but he had what tools he did have. And that's what was left to him by Jefferson. It wasn't much, but he used it. First thing he did, puts a 40% tax embargo on the South. So what does he do? He cripples the South's economy and kills the economy to a great extent in the North. Wonderful. Then what does he do? Well, he continues on, pushes into the war. South gets favors. We'll get the jump on it. The war's on. He didn't care about any of the states' rights.
No, no,
he didn't.
What he also didn't care about the slaves.
Yeah, here's a quote from him about the slaves. This is what he said about the slaves. Quote, I am not...
I'm sorry.
Here's his quote about the slaves. Quote, I am not, nor have I ever been, in favor of bringing about in any way the social and political equality of the white and black races.
Well, it gets even better than that, because what he ended up doing, you know, this keeps rolling on. And, you know, he comes by the time of 1863... Now he comes out with his Emancipation Proclamation. And see, what it really came down to is he didn't know what to do. He wanted the land. The CSA was there. This was a tool. And he couldn't do anything about it. So what it came down to, eventually the war ended. So what does he do? Now what's the goal here? What do you end up having? Well, now the complete economy is obliterated on a scale that nobody has ever seen before or after. And what you have is people that are homeless, you know, people have no work. And what you have is people, oh, get out. You live here, you're gone now, go out, get a job.
Yep.
Well, here's what happens. There's no jobs. And even further than that, Lincoln had a lot of explaining to do. And now luckily for him, and I say lucky, because the only thing Lincoln had left to do was die. Because if Booth wouldn't have killed him, somebody else would have. You know, and when it comes down to the end of the story, he brought in everything we have today, fiat currency included.
Mm, that's true.
After he obliterated the economy beyond...
Suspending habeas corpus, arresting journalists.
Yeah, he's a tyrant. There's no doubt about it.
Jailing opposition.
We're definitely going to agree on this one, Ricky. Thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate it.
Anytime somebody on Twitter, because they always do this, like libertarian accounts will ask, who was the worst president? And everybody says Wilson. He's really bad, but I always say Lincoln.
Lincoln.
I mean, Wilson didn't kill 600,000 people in America.
Yeah, that's a great point.
As bad as he was.
And the what was it, White versus Texas happened under the Lincoln Supreme Court, which is the big case that they always cite that says, whoa, the Supreme Court says you can't secede. See, it's this court case from 1865 or whenever it was.
The Union says you can't secede.
Yeah.
Well, duh. I mean,
right.
Why would they? But, I mean, yeah. If the Confederacy had won their independence, then the U.S. Supreme Court would be saying a very different thing today. So, I mean, it's literally just a matter of the victor writing
the
history.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk to Chuck. He's in Washington State. Chuck, you're on Free Talk Live.
I think Abraham Lincoln, contradicted himself more than the Bible has, to be quite honest with you. If you really get into, like, the quotes and what people like to throw up for their political convenience, you know
what I mean? Because I just said that one, and I know that there's someone out there who, if they heard that, they'd be like, well, he said this. It's like, okay, but he also said this. It's like, obviously he was just doing what was politically expedient for him, but this is clearly what he really thought. I mean, he wrote about how the black people should not be, before he got elected president, he wrote about how black people should not be slaves anymore, but they should be shipped out because they shouldn't be mixed with white people.
Didn't he also say something
like... And they're
like,
taking our jobs, basically.
I don't have it in front of me, but didn't he also say something like, if I could keep the union together by freeing blacks, I will do it, and if I can keep the union together and keeping blacks enslaved, I'll do it. Like, he just didn't care about the blacks. They were just a tool to him.
And, I mean, it's certainly fair to say that people's opinions change. I don't believe the same thing I did 5 years ago, maybe, or 10 years ago. Maybe I believe the same thing today that I did 2 years ago.
Yeah, but are tyrants people?
Well, they probably once were, right? So I'm going to allow him the opportunity to change his mind and say, you know what, I used to not be pro-slavery, but now, pro-liberation. Now I'm pro-liberation. Emancipate everyone.
But I never even saw a quote like that.
But, that doesn't seem to be the case. And it does seem, based on the quotes that I've seen, that his primary goal, above all else, was to keep the union together.
That is true. And the thing is, you can't trust a politician to say they've changed their mind and be honest about it, right? Did Ron DeSantis, the current governor of Florida, actually change his mind about COVID, or did he just see it as a political move?
If it was a political move, it was smart on his part.
It was. But it was a political move.
Yeah, I think it was. It was really smart on his part to be that one governor to get ahead of the pack, that far ahead of the pack.
Technically, he was behind the pack because the South Dakota lady was way ahead of him.
Oh, really? Well, he eclipsed her.
He did because he's, you know, in Florida, and there's a ton more people live there, so it's more.
And they already had the reputation of being the second free state for some reason.
And no, that all came about during COVID.
Oh, did it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
People just forgot about the first, 10 months of tyranny in Texas, and they act like, oh, Texas is so free because they were like the second state to just say no more masks in our state.
As I understand it from my sister, Mississippi never had a mask mandate.
Wow.
But. Good. Everyone else, I mean, all the stores did, and the government buildings did, but as I understand it, the governor never said, hey, we should do this thing, too. But
I don't think they did in New Hampshire, either.
Because they're so far behind everything. That's true. New Hampshire did it.
Never had one. Chuck, any other comments? Go ahead.
I do. Could you tell me more about the stop sign that's being monitored and what municipality it's at? I really think you underestimate the power of people getting pissed off in their local jurisdictions for just little things like this.
It's actually very rarely monitored.
And I have no desire whatsoever. This is, like, not going to be my issue. Like,
I think that you should make this the centerpiece of your issue, a stop sign, and see where it takes you. Maybe there's a lot of people that get pissed off about little things like that.
I mean, there probably are, but to be fair, there's not much monitoring going on. I have seen the police monitoring the stop sign in my years here, but it has been some years since I've actually seen it. And, you know, I'm here every day, so I would know.
I've never seen anyone pulled over at it.
I've seen it happen.
Well,
but it doesn't.
But that's usually following some Karen reporting it, right?
That is true. Correct.
What you need. You need a bunch of Karens out there to get really passionate about the stop sign.
No, I want everyone to just start ignoring it because it's useless. It doesn't belong there, and that's a lot easier and more effective than just spending the next 10,000 hours of my life and $40,000 petitioning the city government to do it.
Yeah, I think that.
But that actually sounds like something you could put on your campaign piece, Arya.
Run the stop sign?
Yeah.
Thanks for the call tonight, Chuck. I don't think she's looking for a campaign manager, but I appreciate it.
I mean, as a general rule, I would not advise, violating the law. And I don't run the stop sign. But, like, as far as stop signs go, that was one of the more useless that I've ever seen.
I don't mind saying I run stop signs. If anything, I think it's a better activism than going against the government. Something that most people in Keene aren't even going to notice. I think it's better activism. You look around, there's no cops around. And you see there's a person behind you, and you're like, this is a red light, but I can clearly safely go, and then you go, and then they say stopped there. At least it's going to get them thinking.
I hope it does. I don't know how activism, how much I would qualify it as activism rather than just doing something for your own convenience.
Well, in a world that's insane as ours, it's sad that doing something for your own convenience is a form of activism.
Yeah, it could be. Speaking of activism, let's jump into it here. I got the NBC Boston from NBCBoston.com/freestate. This is what will be 11-episode documentary series. It's entitled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire. We actually played the first 4 minutes of the first episode for you two or three weeks ago.
Oh, when we got the trailer?
The trailer, yeah. Okay. So the trailer itself is actually the first 4 minutes of episode one, which is entitled The Manifesto. And so I'm just going to pick it up at about 4 minutes into to this episode. And they actually have, give them a compliment here. They've got, like, custom graphics that they did for this, custom animations. So this is a really nicely put together, there's music here. I don't know if it's original or they plucked it out of, some music downloading thing, but it sounds great.
Yeah.
It looks good. Nice. The video is, the quality, the editing, all very, very high quality production.
Well, it's NBC. They're one of the major news organizations in the world.
Yeah. And basically Comcast is running the show over there. So there's a lot of money over there. And they did a really fair job, as I think you'll see here. So here it is. So it opens at the Quill in West Manchester, which is a Free Stater club. They're showing some B-roll of, you know, like the outside of the building, people inside.
Hi, my name's Julia, and I'm calling with the Free State Project. How are you?
Yeah, hi. I'm calling from the Free State Project. Have you come for a visit?
Yeah.
Well, a really good thing is
Do you want me to have someone with more knowledge?
So what they're showing here, you know, you can't see what's happening, but there's images from inside the Quill, which used to be a very private club. It's now actually open publicly a couple of times a month for, like, the New Movers Party that happens every month. I think the first Tuesday of the month there. If you're up in New Hampshire at that time, it's open. You can go to this place and you can kind of check it out. But there's, you know, flyers and signage and things like that, interesting things to kind of look at. But the room is full, in this case, of people on their cell phones making phone calls, outgoing calls to people who have signed up for the Free State Project, just to kind of like, hey, you know, we're still here. We haven't seen you move yet. When do you, you know, what are you planning on moving? That kind of thing.
I got a call before I moved, after I signed, before I moved mm-hmm. from Pecos Mountaineer. I was like, wait, is this Pecos Mountaineer? And he was like, yes.
So had you,
like,
met him yet?
Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, I met you at the Funky Noodle, or it was called The Keen Great at the time.
Right.
And he was like, oh, I thought it might be you. I was like, yep, I'm coming.
So that was his, the question was just, when are you moving?
Yeah, like, it was like, we saw that you signed, and we want to know if there's anything we can help you with.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's where, like, our caller earlier from New York would probably ask his questions about, like, well, how do I register a car? And they'd get answers, you know, from that. So that's what they're showing here.
Right about that. Like, there's a lady named Chris Lopez.
Is now a good time to discuss moving out here to New Hampshire and helping us build liberty in our lifetime?
And they feature here Jason Sorens.
My name is Sorens.
He's the founder.
I came up with this tagline, Liberty in Our Lifetime. The idea was that maybe we'll actually see a libertarian society and we can actually see how it works.
Showing pictures of him as, like, a kid.
And I was going to say, these little, like, up-close video things they do. They did one of you and Aria and Nobody, and they just showed Jason Sorens. They're really nice looking. They look noble and, you know, they're not portraying us like hicks
or monsters.
Whatever. Like, it looks really nice.
Although this dog with the teeth sticking out of his mouth.
It's just how the dog looks. He's cute.
Anyway, going on.
Still here, but it's okay. I can make you lunch. Yes, peanut butter sandwich.
Showing the sort of day-to-day of Jason in his kitchen, cutting up bread.
We're in my kitchen in Amherst, New Hampshire.
He's got a kid or something. Making her lunch.
I hate that piano in the background.
All right.
That's all I can hear.
You're welcome.
Well, you're actually not seeing the videos. You're just hearing.
I grew up as a religious conservative and became a libertarian really in high school, although I didn't have a term for it then. This idea that, well, government is geared toward its own benefit and not necessarily toward the public benefit. So what we really need to do is just take power away from government and give it back to society to...
Oh, and it appears to be buffering.
Have a better society. In the 90s, that was a period of great optimism about human freedom and about the state of the world in general. There was this sense
that... Makes me really sad. I've never lived in a time like that.
The 90s?
Well, oh wait, I was alive, but I was 5 when 9/11 happened, so I haven't lived in a world like that since I was 5.
I wish you wouldn't say things like that out loud.
Well, there's some
just
old-looking
those things next time.
There's some
how old I was in 9/11?
There's old-looking video here to take you back to the 90s. There's just, like, people in computer rooms with old technology.
The internet, cryptography, globalization, all these things were liberating human beings. That already by 2000 and 2001... was being shaken.
And
I was
George
a graduate
Bush.
Student. I was, this is shortly after the 2000 election.
I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
There was this sense that the tide is turning toward bigger government. And so I was pessimistic about the future of the ideals of freedom at the federal government level in the U.S., and I was looking for an alternative. My dissertation was on secessionist movements, so movements for autonomy and independence around the world. And it got me thinking about how we can have an influence at the state level if we all got together and found a state that was already somewhat friendly to our ideals. Where we...
Now, what they're showing on the screen is the original 10 states from which the Free State Project chose New Hampshire.
Montana, Alaska, New Hampshire, and I don't remember all of them.
Idaho.
Wyoming.
Wyoming, Vermont, Maine, Delaware was in there. I think the Dakotas as well.
Maine would have been a good choice as well, I think. But Maine has weird, man. There's a reason that Stephen King centers so many of his novels on the state of Maine.
Was he from Augusta or something? Or, well, he's from
there. He's from there, yeah. I don't recall how Maine did in the vote. I don't think it was in the top three or anything like that. It didn't do that great.
I really enjoyed Maine while I was there. It's just that it's even colder.
It's bigger, it's colder, and it doesn't have the same culture of liberty that New Hampshire does.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yeah, I got chased by this Trump lady, and another person that was with me that was a black guy that was knocking on doors for y'all, he got locked into a driveway, and a guy held him at gunpoint.
Whoa.
Because he was black. It was crazy.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was dramatic. It was really scary. I mean, I wasn't there.
So they got, like I said, a custom graphic here, custom animation showing all the different states, and it looks very nice.
We could really make a difference. And then once we've chosen a state, we'll try to get to 20,000 signatures, and people have 5 years to move once we hit 20,000 signatures. Ultimately, we all got together and chose a state, and that state ended up being New Hampshire.
They made this cool little, like, pinball graphic where it shows the different states inside, like, a pinball machine and, like, this little ball bouncing between them.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and they just did a really nice, just little nice touches like this.
9/11 happened 10 days after we launched the Statement of Intent for the Free State Project. So there was a kind of mood in the country, basically, let's give the federal government all the power they could possibly want, just in case they can do something with it. And, and so it was not a very good time for libertarians.
But then no, it wasn't. But some libertarians were against any kind of invasion in the Middle East from day number one. And I got to give credit out to Harry Brown, who was a libertarian presidential candidate in the year 2000 and 1996. He, like, right out the gate, as soon as 9/11 happened, he started blogging. He was, like, one of the first bloggers, basically. He started blogging about why, you know, war is a terrible idea. This is insane. You know, this shouldn't happen. And those blogs are still available online. So not everybody fell for this trick, you know, of trying to convince people to go to war against these people who had nothing whatsoever to do with the attack on 9/11.
No, it was about Poppy and some stupid oil pipeline, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Being a kid on military bases, it sure felt like everybody was gung-ho about war. It was so bad. I always heard that country song that goes, "We'll put a boot in their ass." At, like, every gathering.
It's their job, right? Yeah. I mean, if I was a plumber, I would be all about the installation of more sewage systems as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was like, of course a soldier is going to be all about more war.
If you're not excited about it as a soldier, they'll probably force vaccinate you or something, give you forced drug concoction.
They do that to you anyway. Yeah. All those people got that one vaccine in that time period that really messed them up. I can't remember what it's called right now. My dad got it, but didn't mess them up.
Get you some of that forced excitement.
All right, here's more.
Starting to change.
Iraq declared 8,500 liters of anthrax.
That was during the run-up to the Iraq War, and a lot of libertarians opposed that.
Getting some old war footage.
There was a lot of opposition to the Bush administration and the fear of that they were abusing their power and tending toward tyranny in a lot of ways.
In the Battle of Iraq, the United States and our allies have prevailed.
That's the old mission accomplished speech from Bush in, like, 2005.
A good opportunity for...
And, of course, they stayed in.
Yeah, did the war there go on for, like, another 18 years or something?
A long time, yeah. It was ridiculous.
And isn't it still ongoing, actually, come to think of it?
I don't know what the current status is in Iraq. You never hear anything about it.
Right, they just sort of stopped talking about it. Like, this is a bit embarrassing. Let's stop bringing this up.
They probably still have some troops there. I just don't know what. If you know, give us a call. 603-283-6160.
For us to recruit.
He pointed out this was ultimately a good thing to help recruit people into the Free State Project, the fact that the government was getting so big and so crazy, and that's still true to this day.
There really is a kind of liberty community in New Hampshire. The governor at the time, Craig Benson, actually tried to recruit us to choose New Hampshire, so he was the only governor to do that.
I'm a believer that if people want to move to New Hampshire and they're law-abiding citizens, we should welcome them, which I did.
People started moving as soon as New Hampshire was announced as a state in late 2003.
When I heard the idea of the Free State Project, it was seemed like a no-brainer.
Every day, the Blasio was giving me more reasons to leave. So I knew I had to leave.
We have this beautiful thing called libertarianism, and what we want to do is create a libertarian society.
And as soon as I heard that, I was like, I'm going to go there. I sold all my stuff that didn't fit in my car, drove out here, and best decision I ever made. Should have moved here sooner.
I'm a very early mover, mover number 50.
New Hampshire's got beautiful white mountains, and we've got beautiful lakes. We have all four seasons. We have no sales tax and no income tax, state income tax. So it's kind of the best place to be.
So you're starting to hear different voices now. It started with Jason Sorens, who was the founder of the Free State Project. And it's kind of, you know, this whole look at the Free State Project, now that it's been around for more than 20 years, and it's this being 2023, this is the year that the New Hampshire was chosen. So this year marks the 20th anniversary of New Hampshire being selected. So the Free State Project started in 2001, but it had to, you know, get people involved in it, and then they had to have the vote on which state was going to be the destination. The vote happened in 2003. New Hampshire was chosen, and so began the early movement. And so it's kind of interesting looking back at this whole thing and seeing all that has come out of what was ultimately just the idea of this one guy, right? Like just an idea that this guy who, you know, he's just an academic type. He's been a professor at colleges and universities and things like that. And he studied secessionist movements. He studied migratory movements. He looked at the hippies that migrated to Vermont back in the 70s. He looked at the Mormons migrating into Utah back in the 1800s, I guess it was. And, he looked at the Quebec secessionist movement there in Canada and just kind of looked at these different migrations and really saw that this could be a thing for freedom if we did that.
It's brilliant in that it's an easily obtainable goal, right? This isn't, we need to move 100,000 people or a million people. 20,000 is a relatively small number in the grand scheme of things. And
sure.
It sounds to people like, hey, this is something that we can actually do. This is how we can achieve liberty in our lifetime by getting 20,000 people to New Hampshire. Well, there's three of us in a room already. That puts us, what, 0.06% of the way there or something?
Yeah, and 20,000, I mean, it isn't a small number when it comes to New Hampshire, though, if you think about it. I mean, it is small. But
right, it would have to be bigger if it was somewhere else. But that's
would,
what's good about New Hampshire being chosen.
Here, it's like, you know, not even quite just over 1% of the population, right? Like,
yep.
And as far as the voting population is concerned, it's just over 2% of the voting population. So you're not going to win any elections with the raw numbers. But the idea wasn't to just move 20,000 normal people. The idea was to move 20,000 activists, 20,000 liberty-minded people who are going to do something to move the ball forward
and
here
get active
in New Hampshire. Exactly. So we're going to continue. There's a little bit more, a few more minutes to part one of the new documentary series from NBCBoston.com/freestate.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.